This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
And this is David Swanson at the People Speak Radio.net, and we are very privileged to have with us as a guest this evening Dave Meserve, who from 2002 to 2006 served as a city council member in Arcata, California, and really, I think, established a reputation as the leading city council member at moving resolutions about issues like peace and impeachment, national issues, through a local government, and in addition to much else that he's accomplished there in Arcata. Dave, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure.
I want to talk in particular about the new proposal you have that is yet another new idea that I think no other city has tried before, as well as about what's happening in Berkeley right now on a similar issue. But let's just fill people in a little bit with your background, just the 60-second version. Where did you grow up? How did you come to be in Arcata and in local politics?
I grew up on the East Coast and migrated out here to the West Coast in the 60s of all times. And then after living out in the country for quite a while and back to the land movement and raising a bunch of kids out there, four of them to be exact, moved into Arcata, California in 1990 and went to Humboldt State University, where I got a bachelor's and then a teaching credential in physical science and physics. But upon the arrival of my first grandson, which was in 1999, I just had this feeling as if, as you recall, right then we were in the midst of bombing Kosovo, and something in my activist background from the 60s just kind of grabbed me from the back of the head and said, you know, you got to do something about this for the future of this kid, your grandkid, and for, you know, just for the future of our earth, because of the way our government was subverting the Constitution and subverting peace around the world. And so I've been pretty active in the peace movement since that time, and then in 2002 ran for city council and was privileged to win a seat there, which I had for 4 years.
And Arcata is in Northern California?
Yeah, it's far Northern California, about 100 miles from the Oregon border.
And is a small town or a medium-sized city?
It's a town of 17,000 and has Humboldt State University is here, which is part of the California State University system, and that's about 7,000 of the population. So it is a college town, but there's also a long history of both logging and fishing, and this was also the area where the logging shutdowns were, the tree sitters, all of the protests against Pacific Lumber and the logging of the old growth redwood, and so on. So there is a strong activist history here. It's also a strong back-to-the-land history, and there's a feeling that this is a portion of what we'd like to call the Free State of Jeffersonia, which extends from somewhere a little bit south of here up into southern Oregon. The boundaries are not yet defined.
I can see Thomas Jefferson's house out my window here in Virginia, so it's interesting that his land stretches out that far. Yet some of the things that you've worked on at the local level in Arcata have taken root in numerous other towns and cities across the country. Some of them we have posted on thepeoplespeakradio.net a little bit of what your platform was when you first ran for city council in 2002, and you were running if we have this right, because, quote, the federal government has gone stark raving mad, therefore we must organize locally to protect our civil liberties, defend the Constitution, and build a sustainable community. So I get the impression that this notion of addressing national and global issues at the local level because Washington wasn't doing it right didn't come as an afterthought.
Not at all. It's my feeling that people, whatever their politics is, people in their neighborhoods, people in their communities, the way people get along seems to work pretty well. And whatever our politics are, we're able to get along and live together and help each other out. And unfortunately, our government, in the past, especially in the last 8 years, we'll say, 7 or 8 years, but also in the last 50 years or so, just has not been an example of getting along in the world and working together and cooperation and diplomacy, and has gone from being just, let's say, power and greed-driven to being, I would have to say, stark raving mad in terms of not paying attention to the basic needs and desires of the American people and of people all around the world. And so I think when the policies of a government affect us as profoundly as they do in small towns, everything from the budgets to the military recruiting and, to the military budget, which robs every local budget of needed dollars for local infrastructure and services, to the military recruiting, which takes away our very kids, then it's time for local communities to stand up and say, not in our town you don't, and take a stand and not really care too much what the reaction of the federal government is, but just try to do the right thing wherever we are.
I wonder, as a city council member, did you take an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution? I know that in many local governments, officials do that.
Definitely. I mean, almost all local officials, state officials, county officials, all the way up through the president, take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And right now, we seem to be most threatened, in my mind, by a domestic enemy, namely our very own government, which is ignoring the Constitution. And I think that it really is at the local level that we can stand up, we can say what we think is wrong with what the government is doing, and take the strongest stand possible against that, and for defending the Constitution.
The question, we're trying to fix some technical details with the line here. I hope the sound is coming through all right for everybody. And while I'm thinking about it, I should let our listeners know that you can call in and get in on this conversation with Dave Meserve from Arcata, California, worldwide, toll-free at 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. Or in the U.S. and Canada, 877-489-6350, 877-489-6350. This is David Swanson at the People Speak Radio with Dave Meserve. Dave, let's run through a few of the laws and the resolutions on arguably national issues that you took up. In 2003, you sponsored an ordinance that forbid police and other city employees from cooperating with federal officials in enforcing unconstitutional portions of the USA Patriot Act. So here you are as a local government saying we now have an unconstitutional law on the books at the federal level. We are going to instruct our local officials not to obey it. How did that go? And did it spread to other places? And what were the results?
Well, there already had been a beginning movement. As a matter of fact, the city of Arcata had already passed a resolution concerning the USA Patriot Act. And at a certain point, when I had worked before I was on the council and brought a number of resolutions you know, against the attack on Iraq initially, very early on, and against the Patriot Act, as I said. But these are resolutions, and what they basically say is, we, the city council, believe this to be so. And at a certain point, it seems to me that we have had to take a stronger stand. And I really love the word ordinance, because what it says is, we as the city council ordain. We make it so that in our town, our city officials, our city management employees will not cooperate with unconstitutional portions of the Patriot Act. And that somehow did catch the imagination of a lot of people across the country. And where we had, there were, I think at the time we passed that ordinance, approximately 20 or 30 resolutions across the country about concerning the Patriot Act. After we passed that ordinance, within about 4 or 5 months, there were well over 100. And it became the sort of movement, people often say, well, you know, what good does it do to pass these resolutions? They're just words. Even the ordinance is, in a certain sense, just words. In a certain sense, it's more symbolic than a law that we have yet had to enforce, let's say. But the very fact that hundreds of resolutions were passed during that spring and summer, we know for a fact that it caused John Ashcroft to change the agenda of his U.S. tour, where he was going to tour the country touting Patriot Act II. And rather than do that, he had to tour the country defending Patriot Act I. And we didn't see Patriot Act II come along until it began to filter down in little pieces, which have been, unfortunately, passing one by one through our kind of limp Congress. So, you know, we do have an effect, and cities do have an effect, and even when you feel as if you're really not getting anything done, there is a tangible effect when cities stand up and stand together against these unjust laws.
Argument, if I ever heard one, that it can be effective for people to speak through their local governments to their state or national governments. Dave, I know we're just getting started in this conversation, and usually we don't take a break until the middle of the show, but we're going to take it early to try to clear up the sound problems on my line. This is David Swanson with Dave Meserve at thepeoplespeakradio.net, and we will be back with more and with better sound quality right after these messages.
Okay, thank you.
More than 1 million children are forced into prostitution every year because of sex tourism. Morocco has become a favorite destination. The economic difficulties contribute to the alarming growth of this industry. SOS Morocco's mission is to let the world know that it's against the law, a human and moral crime, to travel to Morocco with the intent to engage in sexual activity with a child. Please visit SOSMorocco.org for more information and to support our endeavors.
This is Gore Vidal. Can you name the one country on earth where the government can steal elections, strip away basic rights, spy on civilians, launch wars based on lies, and where the people do not take over the nation's capital in protest? If you said the United States, you'd be right. So let's remedy that by calling our Congress members and asking them to support the impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
And this is David Swanson at the PeopleSpeakRadio.net, back with Dave Meserve from Arcata, California. And you can get in on this conversation at, in the United States and Canada, toll-free, 877-489-6350. Worldwide, toll-free, 888-228-4494. Dave, we're talking about passing local ordinances on issues that some argue are national issues, and I know that a lot of local elected officials back off and make the excuse that it's none of their business, and some citizens push them, usually citizens opposed to the particular stance of a position, push them on not taking national positions. Yet you've done so on the Patriot Act, and you've also introduced and passed in Arcata, when you were a city council member, resolutions calling for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney and opposing the invasion and the occupation of Iraq. What percentage of the response that you get to these would you say is positive, and how much is negative?
I think certainly the majority of the response was positive. Sounds like we're still having sound problems here, but I'll keep going. I think the majority of the response was positive, but there certainly was always the contingent that says, if you're bothering to pass a resolution on impeachment or on the war, then somehow you're ignoring the potholes. And it's amazing that in the rhetoric of people opposed to this action, potholes take on this huge importance, which seems to override anything else in the world. And I've noticed that speaking with other council members across the country who have taken similar actions as council members, taken on bigger issues. To me, the city council is kind of our smallest, our most local, our most accessible, and in a way our most intimate form of government. It's where everybody can feel free to stand up and speak to an elected official. And it's really the root of democracy in terms of being the most local form of it. And so I think it's very important to speak from that level, and I certainly salute all the other cities and all the other council members who continue to speak out that way.
In fact, a huge list of cities and counties and states have now passed resolutions opposing, in one way or another, the occupation of Iraq, and about 90 towns and cities have now passed resolutions on impeachment, and state governments have taken it up, and in fact, Congressman Dennis Kucinich finally, after many months of this, introduced articles of impeachment, and it's interesting in this discussion that a couple of weeks ago he was planning to introduce articles of impeachment against Bush, in addition to the ones he has already introduced against Cheney. And he's now backed off until his primary in Cleveland, Ohio, precisely because all of the media and the corporate power in Cleveland, Ohio, and the plain dealer is insisting that as a congressman representing people in Cleveland, he should be more focused on things like potholes. And so he's putting off the national issue until after his primary, even though he's in Congress. So it's a debate that hits us at all levels. I especially want to discuss the new proposal you have for a very interesting resolution, but I want to get people in on this conversation, and we do have a caller on the line from Michigan named Basima. Basima, welcome to the program. Basima, are you with us? Basima from Michigan, we will come back to you. Dave, tell me about the new proposal you have for a resolution that I think has not yet been done anywhere.
This is actually another ordinance. The difference is that when I was on the city council and engaged at least part of the time in passing resolutions and ordinances which dealt with the larger issues, one of the things that came to me was that it was just five people deciding to pass this, and often we pass these ordinances or resolutions by a 3-2 or a 4-1 vote. And I think that there's, in a way, a lot more effectiveness, a lot more democracy if we go to a ballot initiative. So this new ordinance that I'm proposing is going to be a ballot initiative. It's going to be on the November 08 ballot here in Arcata, and I hope in other cities in the country. We're calling it the Arcata Youth Protection Act, and it's an ordinance to prohibit the military recruitment of any person under the age of 18. And that's all it does. It just specifically says that no employee of or agent of the U.S. government shall in the course of their job duty recruit contact for the purpose of recruiting or promote the future enlistment of any person under the age of 18 into any branch of the United States Armed Forces. And the reasoning behind this is that really there are, I think, two ways in which the current misdeeds of the federal government really hit home. And that's, one way is the $5,000 a second that's flowing out of the U.S. Treasury and out of the, and in, you know, raising the national debt and so on, $5,000 a second into the Iraq war. And the other is that the military is coming to every town and city around the nation and recruiting kids, often as young as 17 or 16, actively trying to convince them to join the military either when they turn 17 or 18 and to fight in these wars. And to me, that's where it really touches down in our hometowns. This is where we feel the pain of the misdeeds of our government. So that's why I'm trying to focus on that, on the recruiting of kids under 18.
It strikes me as a brilliant idea. Obviously, there's some disagreement out there in that I can't repeat to you hardly a word of the nasty emails I've received since posting something online about your proposal, although I've received many congratulatory and delighted ones as well. Is this striking a different sort of chord because it goes to the heart of whether the military is something to support in every way or to oppose? I mean, there seems to be a counter argument that, well, if it's good for them to go after 18-year-olds, why not 17 or 16-year-olds? What sort of reaction are you sensing out there to this?
It's been mostly positive, although I've also received some of those unquotable emails. I think the real point here, I'm in a way trying to steer away from the situation that's been coming down in Berkeley, where the city council first said that the recruiters were unwelcome and then said, kind of rescinded that last night, I guess, to some extent, under pressure and everything up to death threats. But rather than talk about the military, talk about any feelings we may have about having recruiting offices in our town at all, I'm trying to focus on just the very narrow sphere of the fact that the military spends a huge amount of money and time and advertising and face-to-face contact talking to kids 16 and 17 years old, trying to convince them to join the military. And this is in a society where we acknowledge and have consensus that kids up to the age of 18 can't make legal decisions, can't smoke cigarettes, and cannot vote. Nor can they drink, of course, until they're at least 18 or 21. So we don't recognize that kids we do recognize that kids under 18 really do not have the maturity or life experience to make important decisions on their own. And yet we're allowing recruiters to use huge amounts of resources to bend their minds to lure and coerce and try to convince them that joining the Army is a good thing. And I think this is a double standard, and I think we need to protect our children from this sort of high-pressure advertising.
Now, if this ordinance passes, then presumably a 16- or 17-year-old won't be hassled by recruiters at school, for example, and won't have this this pushed on them in ways that they find hard to avoid. But if a 17-year-old wants to go search out a recruiter and talk to them, presumably they will be able to do that, or no?
Yes, there's a specific exemption in here. You know, the language of it is that no recruiter can initiate contact with anyone under 18 for the purpose of recruiting. If a person under 18 wishes to initiate contact with a recruiter, that's his or her right. And I wouldn't want to get in the way of that right, even though I may disagree. I might try to talk the kid out of it, but I think that the kid has the right to contact a recruiter if they so desire. I do not think that the recruiter should have the right to initiate contact of a child under the age of 18.
You make a good case. Let's see what Basima in Michigan has to say, if Basima is on the line and we can make it work this time. Basima,
okay.
Go ahead.
Hello, Dave and David.
Hey,
can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. First of all, thank you, and David, you're doing a great job. Absolutely wonderful show. David Meserve, Elizabeth Goldstein is involved with a program called TeenPeace.org, which deals with this very thing. She's out of Washington State. And at one point, she had explained to me that hidden within the No Child Left Behind Act was a stipulation for the procuring the monies that schools are allotted by the government, and
yep.
That the condition was that recruiters not only could stay on school grounds, which they've always been allowed to do, but they can actually interact. Like, I mean, they can actually sit down and eat lunch with your children and try to indoctrinate you into joining the military. Is that something that you are aware of, and is there anything that can be done to help change that? A great show, everybody. The People Speak radio show is just a great show.
Thanks for calling in.
Yes, yeah, actually, we were in the drafting of this ordinance, we were very well aware of the No Child Left Behind Act, and that's section 9528 in there, which does say that no local educational authority, which is a school board, can create any regulation which limits the access of military recruiters more than it limits the access of either college or business recruiters to a school. The ordinance that I'm proposing doesn't mention the word school in it. So if this ordinance passes, first of all, it will not be a school board or a local educational agency speaking. It will be the voters and the people of the community speaking. And furthermore, we're not saying that the recruiters, we're not forbidding them from going into the schools. What we're forbidding is any initiating of contact or recruiting of anyone under the age of 18. So it's my belief and intention that we're not violating No Child Left Behind, although we will effectively be stopping the recruiting of anyone under 18.
Now, clearly, Dave, there have been other approaches taken around the country in promoting awareness of the possibility of opting out, of having your child's name and contact information passed along to the recruiters, and lobbying local school boards to take actions to restrict or exclude the recruiters, or to bring in counter-recruiters, that is, people with information about the military that the military does not approve of. How does your effort fit into this whole web of different efforts or take a step beyond them?
Well, I think it's complementary to all of them. I've got the greatest respect for all of the counter-recruiters, all of the efforts of the... There was a school board in Washington State I know that tried to exclude the recruiters from the school and had to back down because of No Child Left Behind. And this is just another tool, really. And, you know, it may or may not stand up. If I'm assuming that we can get it passed here, my reading of the people of Arcata is that they will favor this. Whether it stands up to a challenge by the federal government, I don't know. Even if it doesn't stand up to such a challenge, I think it will raise the consciousness of the fact that recruiters are targeting youth. And it will also, I think, empower the people of whatever city it does, whatever cities it does pass in, to say, wait a minute, we don't want recruiters recruiting our kids, and we're going to follow them around and make life difficult for them if they do that, or we're going to take further legal steps, or maybe we'll have to back off and say no one under 17. It's really impossible to know what the outcome of this will be, but I think that we need to, you know, in the old activist term, use every tool in the toolbox, certainly every nonviolent tool in the toolbox. And this is has the potential to be a very powerful tool in terms of both stopping recruitment and raising consciousness of the recruitment of youth that is going on.
We have another caller I'd like to bring in, but it sounds like you've got this very well thought out. If a citizen or a elected official of some other town or city is listening and wants to know how they can get a copy of this drafted ordinance and how they can propose a similar measure, is there a place they can go, or how can they get involved?
Well, at this point, they could. I can give my email here, which is Dave Meserve, M-E-S-E-R-V-E, one word, at Suddenlink, SUDDENLINK.net. And we are soon going to have a website for the ordinance that hasn't gone up yet. And do you still have it on your website, David?
Yeah, in fact, I was going to say, for lack of someplace better, people can certainly find it at afterdowningstreet.org. But let's bring another caller in on the conversation. Steve from Santa Fe, New Mexico, is on the line. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. And you know, sir, I'm a member of Veterans for Peace, and here in Santa Fe, we're standing in and watching recruiters recruit junior high school children at 14 years old.
Wow.
And I'd like to mention, what is it, Not My Child? I'm kind of drawing a blank on that, but there is a way in New Mexico and in most states to exempt your child from being recruited. Not that that takes away from what you're doing, by the way. I want to thank you for your patriotism and humanity. But we've got to stop this, and thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, no, the Not My Child is a very strong program, which helps people understand how to opt out of having their information sent to recruiters. And I also want to thank the gentleman from Veterans for Peace. I just was very happy to get the endorsement of our local Veterans for Peace Chapter 56 of this ordinance. And Veterans for Peace does a great job nationwide in promoting peace.
Dave, you mentioned briefly in passing what's happening in Berkeley, where they have passed a somewhat similar resolution that's created a borderline national news story. Can you summarize what they've tried up there in Berkeley and what's different about it?
Well, in Berkeley, what happened is a Marine Corps recruiting center moved into downtown Berkeley. Why they did that, I can't quite understand. But they, knowing, I think, that it would be very controversial. And recently the city council, in quite an imaginative vote, I thought, voted to provide a parking place for Code Pink and other protesters in front of the recruiting center. I certainly hope they painted the curb pink for that. And then they also said that the Marine recruiters were not welcome in Berkeley. And I think that's what really touched off the firestorm to the right. And although I certainly have protested at our local recruiting office, and usually the result is that the recruiters just go home while we're there out front, I think that it's this is a complementary way of dealing with it. Certainly one thing to do is to shut down the recruiting. One thing to do is to say that recruiters are not welcome. I think that there is a valid point that can be made that someone who wants to join the armed forces and has considered that decision should have a right and a means to do that. As I say, I would try to talk them out of it. I don't support the recruiting effort, but the main focus I have on the recruiting efforts is for the recruiting of youth. And I think that's where we can really kind of have much more unanimity and say that perhaps recruiting is okay at a certain level. Perhaps someone being able to go to a recruiting center or contact a recruiter and join up if that's what they want to do is within their rights. But for the recruiters to be taking advantage of the youth and the immaturity of kids under 18 and promoting what they're calling a career and is actually a job out there fighting a war that never needed to be fought, then I think they're dead wrong and we should be stopping them. So I see this as a complementary approach to Berkeley's. I see it as much less confrontational than Berkeley's approach. And actually, I've spoken here with a friend of mine, happens to be the coordinator of the McCain for President Committee here in town. We don't agree very much on politics, but we're friends. And he actually thinks that that this idea of not recruiting kids under 18 is a pretty darn good idea. So my hope is that we can not have a political divide over this ordinance, but that people who are really want to protect their kids from the predatory recruiting of the armed forces can come not only from the left, but from the middle and from the right as well.
Well, I think that's a good term, predatory, and dishonest would be another one. So much of the recruitment involves misleading kids, and that's something that young people should perhaps be protected from. We do have another caller on the line I'd like to get to, and I should remind listeners who don't know that they can call in toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350. Or worldwide, toll-free at 888-228-4494. And this is David Swanson at the PeopleSpeakRadio.net with Dave Meserve from Arcata, California. And we have on the line with us Kevin Hoover from the Arcata Eye. I assume, Dave, that you know what that means. Kevin, thanks
for calling.
I know
Kevin well, yes.
Hi.
Hi, Kevin.
I just wanted to clear one thing up. I didn't call you guys. You called me. So there you go.
I'm delighted to hear that, although I didn't know anything about it. Welcome to the program. Do you know what we called you for?
Yes, I do. Yes, it's Dave's proposal to ban military recruiters from not give them access to school campuses.
Are you
I believe that's the top, Kevin.
Yeah. Kevin, are you a supporter or an opponent of this proposal?
I don't really have enough information to make a decision on Dave's specific proposal that he has now. I think I'm generally, personally, you're asking my personal opinion, I think I'm generally sympathetic to the idea of not having our educational institutions be some sort of harvesting area for the military. It seems to, it's not clear to me what they're being educated for on these campuses if they're just going to come and be made soldiers out of. That's my personal opinion in principle.
Yeah,
I'm sure I could articulate it much better, but just off the cuff, that's it.
Just to clarify, Kevin, it doesn't ban them from school campuses. What it does is prohibit the military recruiting of anyone under the age of 18.
Okay.
And a whole lot of the recruiting that goes on is at people's homes and through emails and phone calls and so on.
Yes, it's true. In previous stories, we've found that the military has ways of gaining information about students and doing their little profiles and everything like that and targeting certain individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like an intrusion on childhood to me.
Let me. It sounds like the two of you, and I certainly am in agreement as well. Let me do the devil's advocate routine. The argument I've been hearing from the right is, well, isn't that what parents are for? If kids go out into the world and to school and they run into all sorts of ideas and influences, when they get home, if their parents are any good, their parents will straighten them out. What would be your response to that?
Who are you asking?
Either one of you.
Well, I'd only say that we don't allow the salespeople from businesses on high school campuses, and we don't allow religious proselytizing. It's not clear to me why we would allow military people on there specifically. It seems to me you could make the kids aware of the present. I mean, the military is always saying, advertising, we have a volunteer army, a volunteer army. I personally enlisted in the military at age 18 based on a lot of misrepresented incentives. And I don't think that a young person, I don't care how well-educated or mature they are, they don't have the life experience to really give proper context to the entreaties of these aggressive military people who have, I should add, they have on their side all the computers and consultants and huge budgets to figure out how to craft an argument that'll seduce a young person. So it doesn't seem fair. I think school is a place for education and exposure to ideas. It's not a place to be sold on something, and certainly not military. I think this does have to do with the fact that, personally, I very much disagree with the way our military is being used right now. I think, in principle, if we had some kind of national service where you had a choice to go into the military or to do something constructive, Peace Corps or, you know, environmental work, I'd probably feel less bad about an entity like that pitching in the schools than one that's just specifically to turn you into a form of a weapon. It seems just not what education is about. I guess that's my whole thing in a nutshell there, folks.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me, and I'm looking at the ArcadaEye.com. That's Arcada E-Y-E, as in eyeball, ArcadaEye.com, the mildly objectionable weekly newspaper from Arcata, California. I assume we can expect some coverage of this issue in the coming weeks in the Arcata.
Oh, sure. Sure. I have Dave's entire thing. I was considering running that. I haven't really taken a look at how much space it takes yet, but we'll cover it. I'd like to add about, you know, just so you know, there's a whole lot of noise coming over the line. I'm assuming you can hear me okay.
We can hear you fine.
All right. Well, I just want to add that what Dave's doing is it's consistent with his work that he's done for the past 10, 20 years. Dave has attempted to both push and pull wherever he can, really. You know, he kind of did his own outreach to the students in terms of, with the Nuclear Weapons Free Zone and Peace Commission, creating these peace book covers. My point is that he's tried to plant the idea of peacefulness in the kids, at the same time trying to hold the military predators at bay. So it seems like what he's doing now is kind of is part of the big matrix there.
Dave, we don't have a whole lot of time left in the program, and I wanted to ask you about some other ideas and related resolutions and ordinances that are popping up in other cities around the country. And one concern that I have as someone who works on peace issues in Washington, D.C., is that we go to Congress members and senators and say, look, stop messing around, stop with the rhetoric, and cut off the damn money. And they tell us, among other things, well, what we are hearing from these city councils and other places is not cut off the money. It's we're opposed to the war. We dislike the war. And then that's what we're doing, too. We're expressing our dislike for the war. I'm wondering, is anyone going to take up passing resolutions urging Congress to vote no on any more money, to filibuster any more money, to cut off the money that funds the extension of the occupation that we all supposedly are against?
I think you're 100% right that that's one of the ways to stop the war. I recently saw a presentation of trying to stop the war, and a gentleman had us say, well, what is it that supports the war? And people called out, well, it's money, well, it's the recruits, it's the media, it's the corporatocracy. And then we kind of brainstormed of how you bring down each of those pillars that's holding the war up. And, you know, the particular work that I'm doing right now has to do with stopping the flow of youth into the Army, now that they're lowering their standards and being much more aggressive in recruiting youth.
But I think you're absolutely right that the other thing is to shut off the money. I haven't seen that movement come up here locally. The particular city council that's in place here in Arcata right now, kind of, I think, in reaction to my tenure there, is will not take up any what they call non-local issues. I am encouraged, though, that I've heard just whisperings of a statewide referendum to both call for an end of the occupation, and another call, which I find very interesting, is to call for a referendum in Iraq on the occupation, a very carefully run election. If we call Iraq a democracy now, let's let them democratically decide whether they still want the United States to be occupying their country. So I have heard about those movements. I'm not sure how we go about cutting off the funds. We've certainly all been yelling at our Congress people, and it hasn't done a heck of a lot of good.
Well, I love both of those ideas. Kevin, have you heard a rumor of that coming in California as well?
No, I haven't. You got to understand, my vision is fairly narrow, just to basically what happens in our town, and there's enough local news to where I'm not able to deal with the realm of theory and higher level policies like that.
Well, certainly, in a narrow vision in a town is where democracy happens, if anywhere these days in this country. Let me throw one more at you, Dave, before we have to get to concluding remarks here, and that is, as you may have heard, a town in Vermont, Brattleboro, that has made a lot of news, and again, the majority of it positive, proposing, and this will be a vote, to pass a resolution that if George W. Bush or Richard B. Cheney should set foot in Brattleboro, they will be arrested for their crimes.
I love it.
Now, this is a cut above. You know, the House Judiciary Committee really should, if it had any sense, start impeachment hearings. This is, we are really taking matters into our own hands. Is this an idea that that's legal, first of all, and that could catch on in other towns, in other states?
As the Declaration of Independence says, you know, when any government acts against, I'm paraphrasing here, but against the interest and the rights of the people, then it's the duty of the people to alter or stop that government. I don't have the words right, but that's basically what it says. And at this point, the way our federal government is, it's all of our rights and all of our duties to take whatever action we can think of. And in this media age, the idea of taking an imaginative action, like you come to town and we'll arrest you, to Bush and Cheney, something that catches the imagination of people is an ideal way to approach it. And I think that the more ideas that come out that kind of spark people's imagination and say, hey, that's right on, let's do that here, is really the only way we're going to eventually get our rights and our country back.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And I know that again, people who want to see your new proposal for an ordinance that would prevent recruitment efforts of those under 18, they can go to afterdowningstreet.org. But there's also a website called CitiesForPeace.org that I know you're familiar with as well, that is a good resource for these types of resolutions and for arguments why it is appropriate and legal for cities and counties and states to be taking up these matters. Before you answer this, let's try to fit in one more caller on this program. We have Samantha from Texas. And I'd like to welcome you to the People Speak Radio, Samantha.
Oh, thank you very much. Nice to meet the two Davids. I wanted to say that I was actually approached when I was in high school. They had a meeting, you know, they just had everybody brought into the big gym. And started to pass us around cards to give all of our information. And we really didn't feel like we had a choice whatsoever. I mean, they just handed it to us, and we filled it out. And after that, we were called into this one place one by one and interviewed. And then, well, I don't know. I just I appreciate you doing this, because I was actually called and emailed and harassed about it, and even to the point that a recruiter showed up waiting for me when I got out of school.
So. Well, thank you for mentioning all that.
Yeah. Samantha, thanks for your call. We have about 2 minutes left on the air here. Dave, is that experience something that would no longer occur in Arcata if your ordinance passed?
It certainly wouldn't be able to occur, because there were definitely people under 18 in that room, and that was promoting the future recruitment of people under 18, the future enlistment. And, you know, as I've been asking people what they think of this ordinance here locally for the last few months, I hear just story after story like that, different from that, but all of very inappropriate ways, nefarious ways, in which these predatory recruiters have been trying to meet their quotas. And you can't really blame the recruiters. They've got quotas to meet. If they don't meet their quotas, they're not recruiters anymore, and they don't know where they'll be assigned yet next, but we could guess.
Yeah, I can't see the other side of the argument on this one, particularly when we're talking about people under 18 whom we don't grant any sorts of rights, but we put at risk of the sorts of deceptions and pressure that recruiters bring to bear. We're going to have to close, David. It's been a pleasure to have you on the program, and the recording will be online for people to listen to from now on at thepeoplespeakradio.net. Any closing words of advice for people who want to move this sort of thing forward?
Well, yeah, first, it's all, you know, always a pleasure to talk to you, David. And I think that we're both working for the same thing, and I think that the vision that we share is the idea that the way out of this situation, where we have a government that's stark raving mad, is in the sanity of our own communities, in the sense of community, in the love we have for each other in our communities, is where we're going to overcome this situation where we have a government that's out of control. And any way that we can do that from a local level is going to make us stronger and make those damn people in Washington weaker.
Well, you give me some hope, and not too many people have done that in quite a long time. Dave Masur from Arcata, California, has been our guest on the People Speak Radio. And next Tuesday, Dr. Hussein Hassuna, the ambassador of the Arab League to the United States and the United Nations, will be our guest next Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the People Speak Radio. .net. This is David Swanson. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, David. Bye.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea, by the relief fountain, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water, yeah, this land.